The book of Hosea, chapter 4. Hosea, chapter 4, let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's word. Hosea chapter 4, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth or loving kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you from being my priest, since you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. And it will be like people, like priest. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not have enough. They will play the harlot, but not increase, because they have stopped giving heed to the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. My people consult their wooden idol and their diviner's wand informs them, for a spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, departing from their God. They offer sacrifices on the tops of the mountains and burn incense on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters play the harlot, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the harlot, or your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with temple prostitutes. So the people without understanding are ruined. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, do not let Judah become guilty. Also do not go to Gilgal or go up to Beth-Aven and take the oath as the Lord lives. Since Israel is stubborn like a stubborn heifer, can the Lord now pasture them like a lamb in a large field? Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their liquor is gone. They play the harlot continually. Their rulers dearly love shame. The wind wraps them in its wings, and they will be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Heavenly Father, as we look at this case that you brought against the sons of Israel, and we see the reasons, and we see the sins involved, Lord, teach us tonight that when there is not the proper knowing and understanding of you, this is what happens among a people. And so, Lord, we do pray tonight that we not only will be prevented from these things, but that we might know your truth, your grace, the knowledge of you, and have much more to share and to offer than what they are accused of in this chapter. So, Spirit of God, do instruct us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 4 begins by telling us that Yahweh is citing his legal case against the sons of Israel for their sins. The Hebrew word in verse 1, where it says, the Lord has a case. It's the Hebrew word reev, and it's the same word that we saw back in chapter 2, verse 2, when it said, contend with your mother, contend. And if you can recall back to that, we commented on that word, reeve, that it has to do with a legal case. These are now legal proceedings, as it was stated in chapter 2, verse 2, that the Lord is bringing a divorce case against Israel. Just as Hosea was bringing one against Gomer. Well, we've seen comparatively how Hosea divorced Gomer, but then in chapter 3 we saw him take her back, didn't we? And the reestablishment of that marriage. And the Lord has promised that he will do that for Israel also in the future. But the Lord has a case to make against Israel. So this is the beginning of his formal lawsuit, the presentation of the case in chapter 4. The verdict of the case we'll see in chapter 5 next time. So, Yahweh's case against the sons of Israel in the first 3 verses. The case cites 3 reasons. There are 3 reasons presented for all of this, and these reasons cause sinful effects. Now, here are the reasons, and they're all in verse 1. Because there is no, now New American Standard says, because there is no faithfulness. It's the Hebrew word emet, and it means truth. So literally, because there is no truth in the land. Now, why is there not truth in the land? We'll come to that. The second reason, there is no, and New American Standard says kindness, but it probably should be loving kindness because the Hebrew word is chesed. There is no loving kindness. The covenant, loyal covenant love of God is not known among the people. So there's no truth, there's no loving kindness, and the third reason is there's no knowledge of God. Dayet Elohim. Knowledge of God. No knowledge of God in the land. Now, would you agree these are real problems? These are doctrinal problems. These are theological issues. Why is there not knowledge of God in the land? Well, we'll get to it, but just peek ahead in verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you, the priests, have rejected knowledge. Their priests refused to teach them the truth. That's why there was no truth. The priests refused to teach them about the grace and covenant love of God. That's why there wasn't any. The priests refused to teach them the knowledge of God. That's why there wasn't any. Does your understanding of truth, does your understanding of the grace and love of God, does your understanding of the knowledge of God make any difference in the way you live? Oh, yeah. Remember, we introduced this morning. You cannot separate what you believe from how you live. Can't be done. What you believe influences and even we could say causes what you do. You do what you believe. Wow. Does wrong theology matter? Yeah, if you get your doctrine wrong, if you get your theology, your knowledge of God wrong, it will lead to all kinds of things. Now, we'll come back to this. But let's look at the effects. So the case cites those three reasons in verse 1. No truth, no loving kindness, no knowledge of God. And then in verse 2, the case cites 6 actions. These 6 actions are the sinful effects caused by the reasons. Because in verse 1, there is no truth or loving kindness or knowledge of God in the land. Okay, then what is there? There is these 6 actions. Swearing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery, and violence. Swearing in verse 2. There is swearing. Now, don't just jump to a conclusion. Okay, that means these people were saying bad words and saying words they shouldn't say. This word swearing implies much more than that. It implies the swearing of an oath. And in this case, the swearing of an oath to another God. We see that in chapter 4, verse 15. That Israel was taking the oath and saying, as Yahweh lives. In other words, they were making an oath to Baal, but giving Yahweh the honor for it. Now, that is really bad theology. And that's what they were doing. They were swearing oaths. So, what is there? There's swearing. There's lying. Deception. In verse 2. From the common man all the way through to the top in leadership, deception, lying was characteristic of the society, of this people, Israel. Murder in verse 2. Murder, killing. Stealing. They would steal, taking things that weren't theirs. Stealing, adultery in verse 2. And that is physical sexual adultery, immoral sin, adultery, and violence and bloodshed. They employ violence so that, very woodenly, blood touches blood. Our translations say bloodshed follows bloodshed, but blood touches blood. The point is, there's so much violence that there's blood everywhere. Just blood. Say, well, let's do a forensic investigation and take blood samples and do DNA tests and all that. You know what? It would be so corrupted because all the blood was mixed in together. Yeah. These are the actions of people when they do not have the truth of God, when they do not understand the grace and love of God, and when they do not have the knowledge of God, what does that lead to? Leads to swearing oaths, lying, murder, stealing, adultery, violence, and bloodshed. Why? Because God's truth and God's grace and love and the knowledge of God are the basis for all good and right ethics. You cannot have good ethics without God. You cannot. You cannot, and yes, I'm preaching it. You cannot say, well, he doesn't know God, but he's a good guy. Oh? Not knowing God leads to this stuff. And then the case goes on in verse 3, citing how those three reasons and how those six sinful actions that are effects caused mourning and languishing. Now, mourning you get. You see that in verse 3. Therefore the land mourns. Languishing means to be weakened, to become in a weakened condition. So mourning and languishing in verse 3, on the part of the land, do you see it? Verse 3, the land, the people, everyone who lives in it languishes, and animals, beasts of the field, birds of the sky, fish of the sea disappear. Now, think about what you just read and what you just saw in the first three verses. When the land is being affected, what caused that? Bad theology. Sin caused the land to be affected. When people are languishing, they're in a weakened condition, physically weakened. Maybe their health is weakened. What caused that? Bad theology. Sin. When animals are disappearing, fish, they're not in abundance, they're not there. What caused that? Bad theology and sin. You know, you say, well, no, the land was affected because it was being polluted because they were burning too much oil. They weren't burning oil. Say, the animals were disappearing and dying off and not available because of harmful effects of global warming. No. Listen. Pollution doesn't ruin your land. I didn't say that because I'm in favor of pollution. Pollution doesn't weaken people. Pollution doesn't kill off the animals. Do you know what does? Bad doctrine. Sin. You know what? There's a lesson here for our whole culture today. There's a lesson. All the things people if we could just figure this out and if we could just stop this and fix this, we would save the planet. You know what? If you do not come to the proper knowledge of the truth of God's word, of God himself, you will not save the planet. You are the one who's destroying it. I realize I will never get elected preaching this. That's what's there in these verses. You think about what you see in the news, what you see concerning your environment, what you see, you know, the greatest sins are not sins against the animals. The greatest sins are not sins against the environment. They will, let's measure your carbon footprint and see if you're giving off too much heat. You know, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. You should only be allowed to consume this much fuel. None of that has a thing to do with this. These problems were created by a lack of the teaching and believing of God's word. Yeah. So that's the case against the sons of Israel in the first three verses. And it's a powerful picture. Now, beginning at verse 4, we see Yahweh's case against their religious leaders. And it looks a little bit hard to follow, but let me try to make it as plain as we can. Verse 4, the case moves the primary responsibility for those reasons and for those sins. It moves the primary responsibility to the leaders. The word contend, it's the same word reeve as the word for case in verse 4. So the Lord is making the case now against the leaders, and the people should be bringing the case against the leaders. Your people are like those who contend with the priest. The priest is mentioned in verse 4 and the prophet in verse 5. The primary responsibility for this is on, I'll call them here, the religious leaders. I can't really call them spiritual leaders because they're not. But they are involved in a religion that has gone far astray from the Lord. So, this case against the religious leaders cites four actions for which the leaders are responsible, and there are effects that these actions produce. So the first action, chapter 4, verse 5, you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night. The priest and the prophet stumble. We're talking about in terms of their obedience to the Lord. They stumble. If they stumble in the day, they surely will stumble at night, won't they? They stumble day and night. And those are the leaders, the teachers, stumbling. The effect of that stumbling in verse 5 is Yahweh will, New American Standard says, destroy, probably better would be cut off or silence, your mother. I will cut off or silence your mother. Now, the word mother refers to the whole nation. And this is not new to us in Hosea. Remember again in chapter 2, verse 2, contend with your mother, with the whole nation, with Israel, for she is not my wife and I am not her husband. Your mother. In other words, because the leaders stumble day and night, the Lord is going to shut down and silence the whole nation. Nobody will have anything true to say. They'll be silenced. Second action in verse 6. They reject true biblical knowledge and refuse to teach it to the people. Verse 6, you have rejected knowledge. You have forgotten the law of your God. They've rejected the law of God. They've rejected their Bible. They have rejected knowledge of God. And they refuse to teach it to the people, so that the people are what? Destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why are the people destroyed for lack of knowledge? Because their priests won't teach it to them. Now, the Lord is not taking all of the responsibility off of the people. They have the responsibility to know Him. But the Lord is moving the primary responsibility of that to their leadership. People will not know the truth if the leaders will not teach the truth to the people. That is always a lesson to every spiritual leader. Do not ever assume that people already know. Say, well, if I tell them what they already know, they'll think I'm insulting their intelligence. No, if you tell them what they already know, they probably will thank you. But if you don't tell them at all, because you're afraid of insulting their intelligence, they will perish because of lack of knowledge. That's what verse 6 is saying. That is how the sons of Israel got into this condition. No truth. No grace and love of God, no knowledge of God. How did they get in that condition? Nobody was proclaiming it. Nobody was teaching it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because of this, the effects in verse 6, Yahweh will reject those priests as His priests. that they're going to be finished. They might still have a job as priests, but after all, they were serving Baal anyway. So why don't they just be Baal priests instead of pretending to be Yahweh's priests? So you won't be my priests anymore, and I will forget your children. You priests, you've made a pretty good living off of this, but guess what? Your kids aren't going to get anything. You're being rejected. Action number 3 in verse 7. They multiply in number and in sin. Well, who are we talking about? We're talking about the priests multiplying. And the more they multiplied, verse 7, the more they sinned against me. You know, there might have been some Israelite mothers who said, "Oh, look, my son's going to be a priest. What a wonderful thing. Oh, we certainly need more leaders, don't we? We need more priests." But here was what was happening. The more of them there were, the more sin there was. That's what verse 7 says. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. Wow. Say, well, we sure need lots of new, fresh, young pastors coming up. Well, I'll tell you what we need. We need some new, fresh, young pastors who are absolutely, unreservedly loyal to the Word of God. They're not loyal to church growth techniques or methods. We need young men coming up who are totally, without reservation, given over to God and His Word. And that's it. But if you get more of the other kind, do you know what you're going to get? More sin. You'll just get more sin. The more spiritual leaders you have, the more sin you'll have. And you know what? That's very sad and very pathetic, isn't it? But that's what was happening in Israel. The effect of this in verse 7, Yahweh will change their glory into shame. You know what? Seems like an honorable, glorious position to be a priest. The Lord says, you know what? The way they're behaving, it's not an honorable position. It's a shameful position. Action number 4 in verses 8 through 10. They feed, and that is meant very literally, they feed on the sins of Yahweh's people. people. Verse 8, they feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. And it will be like people, like priest. You know what? The more the people sinned, the more they gave and provided to the priests. Yeah. Why? Because the priests were claiming, yeah, we can make some sacrifices to Baal. We'll do this on your behalf. Just pay us and it's okay. And in the process of that, the priests desired to become just like the people. So the more the people sinned, the more the priests sinned. And the more there was then to be dealt with, so then the people would pay the priests more money or give them more food or supplies. So they were very literally feeding on the sins of the people, taking advantage of the people in order to get stuff. Now, what will be the effect of that? In verse 9, the Lord says, I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. And in verse 10, they'll eat, but they'll never have enough. They'll play the harlot, but not increase, because they've stopped giving heed to the Lord. The land won't produce enough food. There won't be enough. The people won't be able to continue to just keep giving them more and giving them more. Eventually, it all comes crashing down, and these priests will not have enough to eat. That's the effect. See, this is the Lord's case against the leaders, against the teachers. Yeah. You must be teaching them the Word of God, the law of God. You must be teaching them the knowledge of God, the truth, the grace and the love of God. You must be teaching those things to the people. When you don't, and you are the leader, you are the one who is primarily responsible for all of the unbelief and all of the sins of the people. Well, so much more that could be said about that. I think you get the idea of it. More does not equal better. In fact, sometimes more means more sin. That's something to think about. Beginning in verse 11, Yahweh's case continues now on why his people are in a ruined condition. He's saying, the sons of Israel, my people, are ruined. Now, where does that word come from? It's the very end of verse 14. So the people without understanding are ruined. That's what he's talking about in this section. Why are his people in a ruined condition? Four reasons. Reason number one, at the beginning of verse 11, harlotry. You see it at the end of verse 13. Your daughters play the harlot. Your brides commit adultery. Verse 14. I won't punish your daughters or your brides because you guys are doing it. You're committing adultery, even with temple prostitutes. Harlotry, adultery, immorality. It brings people, it brings a society to ruin. That's the point. Reason number two, drunkenness. Verse 11, the rest of the verse. Wine and new wine take away the understanding. So much of it that you can't think straight. That you don't understand. It's destroying their society. Reason number three, in verse 12, all kinds of idolatry, including consulting the idols for advice. Can you imagine that? I'm going to the wooden idol that I made with my own hands and asking the idol's opinion on something. You know, when Isaiah talks about that, he actually says, that's stupid. Yeah. They're using a diviner's wand. You know, I'll use this to get information. You know, maybe this divining wand will tell me where the water is or whatever. It'll, you know, yeah, but it's an evil spirit. A spirit of harlotry has led them astray. Why are they into harlotry and adultery? There's an evil spirit behind that, leading them astray. Played the harlot, departing from their God. All kinds of idolatry. And it brings them to ruin. You know, we have so many things in our culture that, you know, and somehow people mistakenly think these things are helpful. You know, just go to the self-help group for whatever reason you're going to it for. And of course, in that self-help group, you call upon any God you want. You know, a higher power. You know what? That will ruin your life. Not save it. Oh, ruin your life. Only the knowledge of the true God will save your life. That will ruin your life. Whew. Reason number four, beginning of verse 13, false worship. They offer sacrifices on the tops of the mountains and burn incense on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth. So we worship and make these sacrifices out under the shade trees because the shade is pleasant. Say, why do you worship there? We like the shade. You know, why do you go to that church? We like the air conditioning. Okay, that's great. I'm sure you're happy for the air conditioning today, aren't you? Yeah, that's a good thing. But you know what? Better to have a biblically faithful church without air conditioning than to have an unfaithful church with air conditioning. Right? Yeah. They're involved in false worship, and it's ruining them. So verses 11 through 14, it's Yahweh's case. Why are people ruined? They're being misled. They're not being taught the truth, and they don't even get it. So they just keep on going with adultery and prostitution and drunkenness and idolatry, all, you know, they just keep on going with it, and it's ruining them. Is American culture being ruined today? No doubt about it. It's absolutely being ruined. And it is not being ruined by something called systemic racism. It's being ruined by bad theology. It's being ruined by sin. When you see the violence in the streets, that's not because of racism. That's because of sin. Now, the final part of this chapter, Yahweh's case is given, and it's given in front of not only Israel, the sons of Israel, but Judah. Because the case is intended to prevent Judah from committing the same sins as Israel. Beginning of verse 15, preventative warning number one. Yahweh warns Judah not to become guilty like Israel. Israel plays the harlot, but Judah, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Preventative warning number two. Yahweh warns Judah not to go to Gilgal or Beth Avon. That's the rest of verse 15. Beth Avon was Hosea's word for Bethel. Remember, Bethel meant house of God. Beth Avon means house of wickedness. But they're the same location. Gilgal and Bethel had become cult centers for idolatrous worship. And they were making these oaths to false gods and yet saying, as the Lord lives. So we'll make an oath to a false god in the name of Yahweh. You know, it's like saying, I can sin all I want to as long as I just sin in the name of Jesus. Well, that's really bad teaching, if you think that way. You know what? I'm just going to let that guy have it in the name of Jesus. Well, by adding the phrase in the name of Jesus, does that make it right? No. But that's what they were doing. So the Lord warns Judah, don't go there and don't do those things like Israel has done. Preventative warning number three in verse 16. Yahweh warns that he does not shepherd a stubborn, rebellious people. Verse 16, since Israel's stubborn, like a stubborn heifer, can the Lord now pasture them? He said, no. The Lord can't pasture, he can't shepherd stubborn people. Can he pasture them like a lamb in a large field? No, because they're not like a lamb. They're like a heifer. They're stubborn cows. They're not sheep. The Lord says, I can't shepherd people like that. Well, that's a warning. He's warning Judah. He says, you know what? If you become stubborn and rebellious like Israel, I won't be able to shepherd you either. Don't become like that. And preventative warning number four in verses 17 through 19. Yahweh warns that they will end up in shame like Israel, referred to in verse 17 as Ephraim, if they commit the same sins. Verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. And then here's such a sad statement, the end of verse 17. Let him alone. He's joined to idols. He's just committed to that. Don't even try to talk to them about it. They're idolaters. Just let them alone. Verse 18, when their liquor is gone, they play the harlot continually. So they've run out of intoxicants. So now they just turn to harlotry. And their rulers, their leaders, the priests, the shepherds, dearly love shame. Remember, the Lord said, I'm going to turn your glory into shame. Okay? And he did. And you know what? They ended up loving shame. That was okay with them. Just living in shame. Verse 19, the wind wraps them in its wings and they will be ashamed because of their sacrifices. So all of this false worship, it's just shame. And it brings shame. But Judah, don't you go there or you will end up in the same shame as Israel. Now that's the case that the Lord brings. In chapter 5, next time, we will see the verdict. And if you think chapter 4 is sad, chapter 5 is sadder. And that's where we end tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have given us your word. You have brought us into the knowledge of yourself. We here tonight are not of those people who are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your loving kindness, your loyal love. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to your people. And so, Father, as we go out now into a surrounding society that is very much in ruin, much as Israel became. As we march into that society, Lord, let us be those who bear the message of truth, who hold forth your word, who communicate sound doctrine and true and right and healthy theology that leads to right living. Lord, in all of that, may there be those who will be delivered, saved from this culture, from this sinful world. And may they come to know you and honor and exalt and worship and praise and love and adore you. Thank you, Lord, for this day we have shared together around your word. We pray for the ministries of this week, and we pray for Vacation Bible School beginning next Sunday. We pray, Lord, that you will bring those who need to hear the message of the gospel. Thank you now, Lord, for our fellowship together in you. Dismiss us by your grace and by your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.